This is episode number 139.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. I'm Mike Wendland. In a minute you'll meet my wife Jennifer, and we're here to talk about the RV lifestyle. Hey, interesting topics today. How would you like to leave your current job and full-time in an RV and still get paid? Or perhaps you're retired and you'd like to travel more in your recreational vehicle, but you need to have some income? Well, stick around, because in this episode, we're going to talk about making money while you're out there RVing. Yes, it is possible, and you'll enjoy meeting our guest in our interview section coming up. But we got lots of questions, comments, tips, and many, many other things to talk about before we get there. First of all, let me bring you on my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I am doing great.
We are down in Florida. How could you not be doing great? It's absolutely gorgeous here. We had a wonderful day today. I did. You worked. You were
that's
working.
Okay.
You were cleaning.
Yeah, our kids are coming this weekend, a couple days, and
this
I'm trying
Mother's
to get
Day.
Everything set for them. And you got to go out in your kayak. And
I did.
That makes me happy that you were able to do that.
I did. I had a lot of fun. I went out in the kayak, and I actually got out there, and it was so nice. I looked at my cell phone, and I had a great signal. So I fired up the cell phone and did a YouTube live report from the Gulf of Mexico in my little fishing kayak out there about, I don't know, I was half, three-quarters mile offshore and fishing, and it was just so gorgeous. I'm amazed at the quality of those YouTube live videos. It was really fun. And I want to invite you, if you're listening to this and you have not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. It's called Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle Channel. Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle Channel. You can find, just go to YouTube and search that, Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle, and sign up for it, because we're doing live reports, and that will give you at least a little heads up, say that there's going to be a live report. As we travel around the country, we love to show you what we're seeing, kind of take you with us in our RV, so to speak. So the best way to do that is to sign up for that, our RV Lifestyle Channel, and to come along with us. And also, we're doing a lot more videos. We're doing videos every place we go, and we do a couple, three every week, it seems like, and this will give you a heads up on all that. So, but I had a good time out there. The only downside is that kayak is, I love this fishing kayak, but I don't have any place to carry it. You know, there's no way to carry it.
No way to get it from point A to point B, and I think it's heavy.
It is heavy. It weighs about 69, 70 pounds, and it's awkward. It's 10 feet long. 34 inches wide, so it's very hard for one person to carry it without dragging it. There are some wheels for it, and I'm having difficulty finding the right side of wheels that fit it. But the biggest challenge is I have no place to carry it really in the road trek unless I open the back doors, slide it over that little headboard we have, and take up half the RV, almost half. It's very difficult. You're shaking your head.
Well, sounds like it's going to go on Craigslist.
She's thinking I need to sell this thing. I really enjoy it, so I hope not. I'm hoping to use it a couple more times down here. I had a couple of people lined up who claimed that they had pretty good hitches, pretty good mounts for it that went in the bumper hitch at the back of our Sprinter-based RV. One of them works well. It mounts the boards vertically, but the downside with that is you can't open the back doors. So it's very hard for one person to get the RV out of, or get the kayak out of the mount, and then to take the mount off and then open the doors. That's not a good solution. I found another company that makes a similar mount for a kayak that fits in the bumper hitch, the back hitch of the RV, but they have an arm that would kind of be welded onto the bumper, and then it would allow the hitch to retract, to swing outward, and you could open the doors. That I thought sounded great. I had two or three conversations, and they aren't ready to make it. They don't know really how to make that so it would work in an easy situation. So I'm stuck.
This sounds like a lot of money. Did they give you a price on the first one and the second one?
That yeah, they're like it's work? Two. It's like two grand or so for one of these there goes.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to happen.
All right, folks, I'm doomed. You want to buy a kayak? I love this kayak, though.
I know you love it, but
folks out there, keep your fingers crossed for me because I'm still hoping I can find a solution. But
well, I think the solution is we might have to get a place in Michigan.
On a lake, and then we'll have a place in Florida.
You can just
leave it in one spot. Now there are some things. Our friends at Road Trek were telling us at that show that they've got a kind of a hitch that would take bicycles and a couple of those. I want to say breakable kayaks, but the kind that they're solid. But
collapsible?
They don't collapse. They kind of come in two pieces and you latch
together.
Yeah. So we'll look into that. But for those of you listening, I do not want an inflatable. inflatables are nice, but I do fishing and fishing hooks and inflatables. It's just not a good mix. And I go way out. I don't just kind of mess around a little bit. So don't tell me about an inflatable. I've looked at
them. Thank you.
And my wife doesn't want me to get inflatable either. Anyway, that's what we've been up to. We're still in Florida. We're getting ready to head to back to Michigan in another week or so. I think we'll be down here for another 10 days. And then we're home for, how long are we home? Well, just a couple weeks at home
in
Michigan.
I'm trying to get you to stay home 2 weeks.
Well, maybe two
weeks.
You
want 1 week, but I have my arm.
Yeah, Jennifer's arm. If you listen to episode 139, she broke her hand. She broke her hand, and what is it now? You saw one doctor in Arizona,
the emergency room doctor in Arizona, and then I went to an orthopedic doctor here at Fort Walton Beach
in Florida, and then they say you got to get it x-rayed, and you got to have this soft cast on for 4 to 6 weeks.
They said three.
Oh, really?
Just three, and then I get it x-rayed.
Oh, yeah, but then they said that it takes 6 weeks for the bone to heal, so you're going to need mm-hmm. something else on.
Well, probably.
So maybe in Montana. That's where we're headed next after we go back to Michigan, then we're off to Montana.
I'm having a terrible time keeping on this cast I have right now. It's coming wrapped all the time.
It immobilizes the hand, and it's wrapped tight almost up to her elbow. So she basically can't use it.
The first one was so loose and flopping around, and they said it depends on how active you are, and I tend to be an active person. I mean, I'm trying to be good, but I can only be so good.
Well, you've been very nice. You haven't even been cranky, so I would be. I would have been clapping.
You mean I'm doing a good job of suppressing my crankiness?
Yes, you are. You're a good crankiness suppressor. All right, let's change the subject. You ready to get to work?
I am.
All right.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
In an RV, storage space is at a premium. And one of the things that takes a lot of that space is clothing. We recently met a woman named Liz who travels solo in her Class B RV. And Lise showed us how she's able to maximize her clothes storage with a great accessory. Here's Lise.
One of our problems with the small RV lifestyle is where to store everything. And our friend Lise wants to share how she solves that problem.
Hi. Well, I tried the full closet, and then I decided I could save space for a few items to hang. But then I decided the IKEA shoe storage, which is fabric, would work in the closet. I can roll up everything then and see everything at a glance, and it works great for me.
So you can roll up slacks and put them like at the bottom. You can take tops, tank tops, or different tops, roll them up. You don't have the fold marks. Rolling up is easier to shake it out and put it on. Underwear, whatever you have, has a different pocket. Easy
yes.
to find colors you can see.
Yes, and I like to wear long dresses at night when I'm on my own, pour a glass of wine. So I have the long dresses or a long skirt and get all comfy. And it works well that you can see it at a glance and it's not all squished up together in the closet.
Again, if you could repeat where people can get this.
Actually, it is from IKEA. It is a shoe storage unit. And then I used a tension bar at the top and zap straps to my existing piece of hardware in there to help hold it in place.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a great idea.
Thanks very much, Jennifer.
We'll put a photo of Lee's and her storage solution on the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/139. Meanwhile, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the Lee voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by radpowerbikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes, you've probably seen them if you've done any camping in the last couple of years. They're extremely popular with RVers. They're very easy to carry. They mount in a regular little bike rack at the back of your RV. Rad Power Bikes, though, are an e-bike. They have this little electric motor, and these bikes can reach a 20-mile-per-hour speed with zero pedaling. Not only that, they can go 20 to 40 miles on a single charge. They make a number of different models that meet every possible kind of rider wants and needs. You can ride pedal-free. You can then ride pedal-free with throttle. Use 5 different levels of pedal assist. This is perfect for those who want to get back into riding, or maybe you're recovering from a surgery or injury, or you're looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. They're really neat. But the best part about them, besides the quality of these bikes, they're so perfect for campgrounds, just to run errands, to go out and explore, to go for a bike ride in the early morning. So much fun. But the best part is that they're priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market, because Rad Power Bikes eliminates the dealer retail markup chain. They deal directly with consumers. And now you can get free shipping with their bike models. And I'll give you an even better deal. If you mention Road Trekking, you will get an extra $75 off. Go check them out online. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hey, Jennifer, remember, I think it was a couple of episodes ago, we talked about a video you had just done, and it's available on our on Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle YouTube channel, about getting bug gunk off the window, squished bugs. Remember we did that?
We use a used fabric softener sheet.
A little fabric softener sheet you put in your wash, and you stress used.
Yeah, because if you get a fresh one, there's just too much soap in it. It kind of makes a mess. It's much better, works more efficiently to use a used one.
And anyway, you did that, and I just wanted to pass along a great little listener comment that came in regards to that video. They saw the video, and they tried it themselves.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. This is Ross and Deb Gassetti from Lewis Smith Lake, Alabama. We'd like to thank you for the neat tip on removing bugs from your windshield with dryer sheets. What a great tip. We love your podcast. Thanks so much.
Well, there you go. Works.
Well, that's good. I know I was so excited when someone told us about it. And when you get a good tip, you want to share it with other people, because getting your windshield clean, free from bugs, helps you see safety. We've got to be able to see where we're going.
Yeah, we had quite a few as we drove down last week down to Florida. We did that one day. We drove 800 miles in one day.
I know. We're not going to do that again.
No,
please.
We're going to follow the advice of that wise guy on Road Trekking, who says don't drive any more than 330 miles a day.
350. But 330.
No, it's 330.
Sounds good. Is it 330?
Yeah, it's a 330 rule.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
330 in the afternoon, you quit by, or 330 miles, whichever comes quick.
Ah.
That's my advice. I'm known all over the world for saying that. And how many times have we done that?
Not very often.
Not very often. We're going to try it. But anyway, we noticed a lot of bugs on our windshield. And this is, by the way, love bug season too, late spring like this. So that's good. You can go to our YouTube channel and just look under the How To's playlist, and you'll see Jennifer's video there on how to get, she had me do all the rubbing on the window, but how to get the bug gunk off your windows using dryer sheets. Okay, here's another call that came in to our leave voicemail message, and this is from a woman named Julie.
Hi, Mike. I'm looking for a Road Trek 190 popular owner's manual for a Dodge 1996 3500B. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, that's real easy. We can get one in your hands instantly. How's that? That's pretty good, huh? But you got to go to roadtrek.com, not road trekking, roadtrek.com. That's the corporate site for Road Trek Motorhomes. And look under the support tab, and you'll see that they have a link for manuals for their different models. On our show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/139, scroll down the listener notes, and I'll put a direct link there. If you can't find it on the Road Trek corporate site, I'll put a link to it, and you can just click it. But they have put every single manual for every single model they have made for more than 50 years online for you to download. Isn't that a great service?
That is a great service because it's easy with different buyers to lose it. It's easy if you move. It's just easy to lose things because we have so much stuff.
Yeah, we do have stuff. And then you want to learn how to do something. You want to remember how to do it, and you can't remember. And then you look for that manual, and you can't find it because it's in all that stuff. All right, so that will help you out, Julie. Here's a listener named John who also had a question.
Is there an all-electric RV manufactured yet? How long do I have to wait?
Now, I had to edit John's video, audio down. He's talking not about an all-electric vehicle like the E-Trek, which is one of Road Trek's models that has no propane and everything is electric and lots of battery and technology. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a vehicle that is propelled by all electric rather than gas or diesel. And John, you ask how long you have to wait? A long time. I don't know of any RV manufacturer that is working on an all electric RV. Now, there may be somebody that's trying to do a demonstration project, but no, there's nothing that I know of anywhere in the horizon. So if that's what's keeping you from buying an RV, you're not going to be buying an RV for a long time because there's just not going to be anything but gas or diesel. At least, you know, for the next 5-10 years, it's going to be easily available in production units. So you're going to have to wait a long time. Okay, one more question. And this, Jennifer, is a follow-up to your tip from episode 138 last week, in which we talked, it wasn't a tip, I guess it was a question about crock pots and using a crock pot as you drive. You remember that the listener did not have an inverter. An inverter creates batteries, current battery voltage to the kind of voltage 110 that you'd plug in a regular appliance. They didn't have an inverter that did that, and they had heard us talking earlier in the program, another program, about these little cigarette lighter adapter inverters that you could use to charge your laptop or your tablet. And they wondered if that would power a crock pot, and we had to sadly say no, it wouldn't. Doesn't give you enough power. So this is a listener who heard that, and he's got an option on something that would solve the problem. And I did not know about this solution, so let's listen to listener Jeff.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I was just listening to last week's podcast, and you had a listener contact you regarding running a crock pot off of an inverter. And that reminded me of a gadget called a thermal cooker that a friend showed me some time ago. It's sort of a thermos with a metal inner pot you bring to a boil on a stove and then put inside an insulated housing. This housing holds heat and allows the contents to slow cook like a crock pot, all without using electricity. They can be had on Amazon for around $100. I just thought this might be an alternative for some people instead of an energy hog of a crock pot. Thanks. Really appreciate everything you do for the RV community. Bye.
Boy, thanks for sharing that great tip. That's the first I've ever heard of that, and it sounds very workable.
Yeah, it is. We did a search after he mentioned that on those gizmos, and we found a whole page on Amazon. They start at a little over $60 and go up, 150 or so, and we'll put a link on our show notes, roadtrekking.com/139. Great tip. And we love getting your tips. We just really, really appreciate that. So, and if you would do us a favor, it would be a big help for us. If you hear any of the stuff that we're talking about, here's how you can be a part of the show and have your voice heard just like the others.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question? Leave a comment? Click the Leave Voicemail button on the right side of the RVPodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest selection of Class Bs from three locations. Because they're in three different parts of the country, these guys have an ability to bring together a large inventory of Class Bs from all the major manufacturers. They have used and new ones in stock on their lots right now. And you can go to their websites, vancityrv.com or crustonrv.com or wagontrailrv.com. Or if you just go to roadtrekking.com, look down on the right-hand side. There's ads for each one of those little banner ads on the right-hand column, and you can click that, and it'll take you to their website. But they have really great prices, and they have all of the major manufacturers in stock that are ready for you to look at. They've got a fly-and-drive program. You cut your best deal on the internet, and they'll reimburse you up to $500 to fly to one of their locations wherever you pick up your RV, and they'll take you from the airport to the lot and teach you all about it and give you a walkthrough, and you can take off and enjoy yourself. Let's check in with our pal Dan the Van Man from Van City RV to find out what their specials are this week. Hey, Dan.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we have a great special on the 2016 Road Trek Zion. Well equipped with a lot of the e-options, only $84,505. We're going to be celebrating our 47th anniversary at Van City RV. Stop by and talk to the reps and check out a lot of our new units. You can check that out at vancityrv.com. So give us a call today at 1-800-467-3905.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
With warm weather, we become more aware of the need to protect our pets from fleas, ticks, and parasites. But these days, many vets are urging year-round protection programs. Fleas are the most common external parasite that can plague pets, and they can lead to irritated skin, hair loss, hot spots, and infections. Fleas can also introduce other parasites into your cat or dog. All it takes is for your pet to swallow one flea, and it can end up with tapeworms, the most common internal parasite affecting dogs and cats. Year-round prevention is key, says animal health experts. They suggest regular flea and intestinal parasite control, as well as heartworm prevention. You also need to protect your pet against ticks. Ticks are major health worries for pets and people, linked to Lyme disease among many other serious ailments. Many vets now recommend that your pet be put on tick prevention programs year-round, because some parasite medications made for dogs can be fatal to cats. Talk to your vet about keeping your precious pets worm-free, flea-free, and safe.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Dozers Dental Chews, an all-natural and a healthy treat that your dog will love. Our dog, Bo, it's his favorite treat. I can say Dozers, and he'll come running for it. They're available direct through Amazon, through retailers and pet shops across the USA. If your pet shop doesn't have one, sell them. You've heard about these Dozers, and you need some. They can order it and bring some in. Here's why Dozers are something that we can recommend. First of all, they're 100% all-natural ingredients. That means they're gluten-free. That means they're low in fat. They're no artificial colors, there's no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives. The beauty of Dozers from our book, though, is that they're made right here in the USA. Now, sadly, if you have read any of the information about pet recalled foods and treats in recent years, you'll realize that most of those recalled products were made overseas, where the standards are perhaps not what they are here in North America. Dozers is made in upstate New York to the highest exacting standards for your pet. They clean your pet's teeth, they reduce plaque as the dog chews dozers. Best of all, your dog will love them. I mean, they are so good. They're very different than other dental chews. They're soft, so the chewed pieces mold to get in between teeth much more effectively than a hard chew. They have these little hollow pockets in back that you can pack with a treat if you like peanut butter or something. But we don't. We just give it straight to Bo, and he loves it. If you see us out on any camping trips, just look for us. Bo always carries some extra, and he loves to give dozers away to the canine buddies that he meets as we're traveling. Again, you can pick up dozers all across the country at various retailers and pet shops, and of course on Amazon. Dozers. All right. Would you leave your current job? Would you like to do it so you could full-time in your RV, but you can't because you need a job? Maybe you're retired, you'd like to travel more in your recreational vehicle, but you have to have some income. Well, in this episode now of the podcast, it's time for us to do our interview of the week, and we're going to talk about making money while you're out there RVing. Yes, it is possible. It's also practical to make enough money to live in an RV full-time, travel, enjoy life. You're going to be surprised to know there are probably more jobs for RVers and work campers than there are RVers and campers who are willing to work. So listen up. This is about how you can earn a living running a business from your RV or working someplace where you're paid not just the minimum wage, but enough to get by on and enjoy yourself. Our guest today has been helping RVers find paying jobs for many years now. Her name is Colleen, and with her husband Bob, she publishes a Workers on Wheels website that keeps track of temporary, seasonal, and mobile jobs that pay money to RVers. Without any further ado, let's bring on Colleen, and she'll help you understand how you can make money while you RV. Well, joining us right now to talk about this is Colleen. She is the editor of Workers on Wheels. And I am so glad to have you on the program because, you know, Colleen, so many people think when we talk about, you know, working as an RVer, they think that means you have to be like a volunteer at a campground and clean out toilets. But it's much, much more than that. And you really can get paid.
Yes, definitely.
Tell us some of the jobs that are out there for RVers.
Oh, there are thousands and thousands, literally, of different kinds of work for RVers. I started making a list. I was aiming to have 1,001 different types of work for RVers. And at this point, I think I'm at about 3,000 different kinds of jobs. And just a wide range of things. Things that are, if you stop and think about it, might be theme parks and tourist attractions and construction, those kinds of things that, well, yeah, that all makes sense that those are jobs you can do while you're traveling. But then there's the really neat jobs that a person doesn't think about, like planting trees and rebuilding steam locomotion engines and being insurance inspectors and working at the different living history reenactment, the living history farms.
Yeah, I've been to some of those. Let's tell everybody about you and Bob, your husband, your partner, as you have been doing this a long time. Give us some background how you happened to start Workers on Wheels, and then we'll certainly link to your website and all of that information, but talk about you and Bob and how you began this. How you are full-time RVers for a while, and now you have a sticks and bricks cabin in Alaska, but talk about your style and how you have been able to work on the road.
We went full-time back in the spring of 1992. At the time, we were both 34 years old, and both had jobs that required us to be on call day and night. I was working in child protection services. Bob was with the street and water department supervising there. So we decided that full-time RVing would be a way for us to spend time together, basically. It was to the point where one of us was either called out day or night, and we were, you know, kind of meeting each other, coming and going, and went out for dinner one evening, and there was a plugged-up water main or something. Anyway, they tracked us down at the restaurant to have Bob come fix it, and he asked if they had checked with the person who was on call, and, well, no, they hadn't bothered to check because they saw our pickup park in front of the restaurant. They thought they'd just come in and get Bob. So he suggested, well, I'll just, you know, call whoever's on line next and, you know, go through the process that way. And 10 minutes later, they came back, and, well, he didn't respond, so they wanted Bob to come out. And this repeated like 3 times, and finally got our food that we asked for in a to-go box, and we just took off, went to a neighboring town, checked into a motel room so that we could actually eat dinner without somebody tracking us down. And at that point decided, you know, we really need to make some changes. And somewhere along the line, the RVing idea popped in and said, we can do this. Why we thought that, I don't know. We didn't have any RVing experience.
Yeah, well.
But we left behind our supposedly good, secure jobs and sold our house and took off.
That was in 1992. So you have done a lot of things since then. Give us a sense of, you know, that's a big step to make. People would have said, you're crazy to do this. You've got security. But looking back, talk about that. Were you really crazy?
No.
Good, because a lot of people want to do the same thing.
You have to have, I think, a bit of self-confidence in that you know that there's always something you can do. And, I mean, you can go anywhere and get a job washing dishes or some, you know, work in a fast food restaurant or something. And we knew that we had, you know, we could always fall back on that. And if we didn't like RVing, we could always buy a house somewhere else. So it was, might as well give it a shot. We started out flea marketing, where we would buy and sell, basically buy at auctions and then go to the flea market and resell things. And we did that full-time the first few years. And as we were out on the road, started to pick up other just kind of little day jobs, part-time things here and there. And then as we were on the road for a while, we kind of figured out more about what's available and where to find it, and we branched out some and have done quite a few other things since then.
Give us a sense. What other things have you done? You did the RV flea market for a while. What other kind of jobs?
Bob planted trees, which is one of the things that he really enjoyed doing. We were down in southern Alabama and became acquainted with a gentleman who was a retired agriculture extension agent, and he was doing a reforestation project where they planted just about 1 million little bitty trees, and Bob would sit on his tree planter and just all day put these little trees into the furrow and they planted trees, and definitely not something he would have wanted to do full-time forever, but it was like 3 weeks. And during that time, he spent, you know, day after day with this ag extension agent, and he learned so much about the area. And being from North Dakota, learning about the agriculture in southern Alabama was something that Bob really enjoyed.
Hmm.
I don't know if you talk to him. It's one of the things that always surfaces that he learned in doing. You know, you work for something for a couple weeks or a couple months, and you learn about the area, you learn about that industry.
Now, I'm looking at your website, and I see lots of jobs all over, really, the country. People from being caretakers to being hosts at campgrounds to being, you know, helping out at resorts, summer work, volunteer work for villages, little small towns that need help in the summertime. Give folks a sense, Colleen, and if they're really thinking about doing this going off full time in their RV, but they need to have some more income, walk them through how you would help them find such a position. They would go to your website for starters, but give them some advice on how they can do this and maybe take away the worry that a lot of people have.
Go to a temporary staffing agency. That is the easiest thing you can do. They are located all over the country, and they specialize in different trades. Some work with medical professionals. Some work with construction agents in different construction fields. Some are the high-tech computer programmer, rocket scientist kind of people. Some are day labor. But go to a temp service, register, get in their system, and usually within hours, you can have a job. Mm-hmm. And depending on which one you register with, you can go from town to town, and your paperwork follows you because it's all on the computer.
Now, I'm reading on your Workers on Wheels website, you even have a little section on the various types of RV work, campground work, caretaking, network marketing, online work, the temp agencies. I'm going back to the flea markets that you and Bob started off in. There are a lot of people who make a pretty good income doing flea markets. Go into a little more detail on how that works. How do you find material that you can sell at the, you know, you go to an auction and buy it? How do you find it?
Our preference was mainly to go to auctions. A lot of times communities that have flea markets also have an auction, or when you go to the flea market, if you visit with the other vendors, they will tell you where to find the local auctions. There is a flea market directory called Clark USA that lists flea markets all over the United States, which is a great place to start for finding the flea markets.
And so you would go to an auction for like an estate, a house auction, and buy, you know, furniture, glasses, dishware, you know, odds and ends, that kind of stuff, and then you bring them and resell them at a flea auction. Is that kind of how it works?
Somewhat. Usually we went to auction houses because they're on set, like every Wednesday night or every Friday night, that type of thing. And our specialty usually was tools, because Bob is very mechanical and he can fix things and he is very meticulous about cleaning things. So we were able to buy tools that maybe had a bad cord or tools that were handles that were rust. And then during the week, he would spend time cleaning, fixing, making sure everything worked well, that it looked nice. And then on the weekend, we put those things out and sell them.
Hmm. And you would get to travel. You'd be in your RV, so you're seeing different parts of the country. Looking at some of the other jobs that are out there, there are certainly agricultural jobs. I met a couple the other last fall for some friends of ours who took a job working on the sugar beet harvest up there in North Dakota, and they said the pay was excellent. They had a great time. It wasn't too long in the job, but it was enough to give them fun. You have Disney jobs for RVers, and you mentioned early on about enactments, or you know, dressing up in costume at a national park, for example, or at a historic site. How does that work?
Usually those kind of positions come with a place to park your RV, and for the time that you're there, you basically become the character that you're portraying. You dress in a costume, you spend the day perhaps being a blacksmith, or doing some weaving, or tending the store, the old-time general store, and giving the people that come through a sense of what life was like during that time period. So it's kind of great for people who like the old-time crafts, the old-time skills, history buffs, because you're just immersed in that.
And I'm looking at other jobs, a lot of jobs with, if you have some technical expertise, online work, and like you said, I mentioned network marketing, others, writing, if people want to write, I hear that all the time, jobs in the tourism industry. Well, we are going to send them to your website because, and of course, there are all those volunteer jobs, plenty of them, but there are jobs that you can do right away for pay. And I think a lot of people would have, you know, that's the big worry for them. They want to get out there and start enjoying this lifestyle. Well, you and your husband, Bob, are proof that it can be done. And I want to thank you for giving us a little bit of a sense of what it's like. And we're going to send them right to your excellent website, Workers on Wheels, work for RVers and campers. And we'll put the links all over our show notes. So, Colleen, where are you now, by the way? Are you on the road or are you up in Alaska?
We are in Texas.
in Texas.
We went down to Rio Grande Valley for the winter and are now gradually working our way back up north and currently are in the Dallas area.
Well, enjoy your travels. I should also point out, you have three RVs. Is that not right? You have three of them that you can use besides that sticks and bricks cabin. That's a pretty good, interesting part of your life. Three of them. One at a time, you get tired of one, you go to the next one. Is that how it works?
We have a travel trailer in Alaska. And since Alaska is so huge, we spend very little time actually in our cabin. But we have a travel trailer that we keep in Alaska for, you know, summer jaunts around Alaska when we are there. And we have a travel trailer in the Black Hills, which is where we live prior to going to Alaska. And so we have the motor home that we take with us when we're south for the winter. And then usually the motor home in the Black Hills, and we'll either fly back or take the ferry back to Alaska if we go back for the summer.
Well, have a wonderful summer. And I know you'll get lots of comments from people who will be checking out your website and lots of questions. And Galen, we thank you for being our guest today on the program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate doing it.
The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. That's right. You heard me right. They will, you buy it, they'll deliver it to your driveway free. That's a pretty amazing thing. Sunshine State RVs, where you will find the largest selection of some of the most popular Class B RVs in all of North America. If you are looking for a Class B RV, you need to make a trip to sunny Florida or at least check out SunshineStateRVs.com. They carry the most popular brands. They have Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, and more. You will not find a wider selection of used Class B RVs anywhere else. And every RV they sell has been through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way that it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as they do on the outside, and every component is turned on and tested to make sure it works. All of their RVs, all the used RVs, are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out, but they even check the roof for cracks and replace the silicone caulking. SunshineStateRVs.com. They also sell new Road Treks, brand new Road Treks. They've got one of just about every kind that they make in stock on their lot right now. Go to their website, SunshineStateRVs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, heavy damage to three stories for you this week, by the way. And the first one is about heavy damage to a water pipeline that is a heads up for all of you that are planning to visit the north rim of the Grand Canyon, because it's going to limit services there until they can get that thing fixed. The north rim is supposed to have opened now. That's the one side. The north side is not the most popular. The south side is the popular side, but the north side is our favorite side. It's just not quite as crowded. It's really nice, but they normally be opening right about now, but they had a lot of damage to a water pipeline that supplies water to the lodges, the campgrounds, even employee housing, and that's going to limit services. They're trying to fix the place out. The water comes from a natural spring below the north ring. North rim there. It brings water to both sides of that Arizona Canyon, but through different pipelines. And the problems affect only the north rim. It closes because of snow. They had a lot of storms out there this year, and rock slides damaged that pipeline. And so crews have been trying hard to get it fixed, but they're just not going to be able to get it fixed in time. So they're going to have portable toilets at the campground when it reopens on the 26th of May. But they're saying overnight accommodations might be in the lodge area, might be a little bit slower, not opening until later, and some limited services in the campground. So be aware of that if you're headed out there. In Virginia, in Hampton, Virginia, here's a story that is on my radar because I'm betting we're going to see other communities around the country do this. Not a good story for RV owners because in Hampton, Virginia, there is a proposal that looks like it's going to pass the city council that will tax recreation vehicles. It will tax them pretty substantially, $1.50 per $100 of assessed value. And this tax, they're considering it a luxury tax. They're trying to, you know, make up for budget issues that they have, like many cities do. And somebody decided, hey, RVs, they cost a lot of money. That's a luxury thing. So they're trying to get that rammed through. It looks like there's only a couple of people on the council who are resisting it. The others, all the other council folks are for it. So unless all the RVers in that town can exert some pressure, it looks like Hampton, Virginia is the place where you don't want to live if you have an RV because you're going to have to pay an extra tax, a luxury tax. And that apparently would be every year, $1.50 per $100 of assessed value of your RV. All right, watch other communities do that. Just know they're going to. Here's one more story, and this is a story that is affecting all of us at the national parks, and I suppose anybody who boondocks anywhere, because what they have found out is that human noise pollution is has doubled, more than doubled, actually, the amount of background noise in most of our protected national park areas. Enough to disturb people and wildlife. So people are complaining about the noise, you know, but it also affects wildlife. The study says that many predators rely on their sense of hearing to hunt their prey, but too much background noise could drown out the subtle sounds they need for hunting. And anyway, the Park Service is looking at a number of ways they can reduce noise. One of the more interesting ones is they want to install something called quiet pavement. Ever heard of that? It uses an extra porous asphalt to minimize car noise, and they think that'll stop a lot of the noise pollution in our national parks, and they're going to put up a lot more signs that say, urge park visitors to please, shh, be quiet. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Alde, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Alde system is different than most heating systems in an RV because it's a hydronic system. That's kind of like the high-end baseboard water heat that estate-type homes have. It's a great heating system for an RV. We have it in our CS Adventurous XL. And the reason we like it is it's not that dry heat, that noisy heat that you get from forced air propane. This is just silent. It gives a warm, even, heated, natural interior. It's great for pets. It increases your interior space because it combines your heating system with your hot water system. It is extremely efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and you've got all sorts of great options that you can add to. The one that we have on ours, on our CS Adventurous, that we just love, is the heated floors. Cold winter mornings, at night when it gets a little chilly, particularly when we're up in the mountains. We love being able to get up in the middle of the night or early in the morning and have a pad around inside that RV with a heated floor. So comfortable. They're available now. Aldi systems are available on a number of different RV manufacturers. Airstream has them, as does New Camp RVs and Road Trek RVs. So check them up. Aldi, A-L-D-E. It's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Time to check in with our pal from Verizon Wireless, Mr. Steve Van Dinter. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Regardless of whether people have a wearable device today, chances are good in the next year or two there will be a smart device on their wrists. And there's no better time than now to start looking because the choices are endless. And that means often the question isn't whether to get one, but which one to go with. And here are a few of my favorites. If you're looking to keep track of your activity and sleep, get notifications of calls and texts, and have continuous heart rate monitoring, then look no further than the Fitbit Charge 2. And with all it does, you'll be surprised that the battery lasts up to 5 days on a charge. Well, let's say you're a bit more concerned with how a watch looks on your wrist, but then again, you still want the functionality that comes with a smart device. Well, no worries. Fossil Q Grant and Q Taylor hybrid smartwatches have you covered. At first glance, there's no way anyone would know this anything but a traditional watch. But once you wear it, the vibration and LED notifications let you know this device is so much more. Fitness tracking, notifications, and a 6-month battery life make the Fossil Q hybrids definitely worth a look. And finally, if you're ready for the smartwatch with a colorful screen and apps, you guessed it, there are options here as well. From the Apple Watch to Samsung's Gear S3 and the newest Wear 24, all of them have amazing screens and will make your wrist oh so smart. And my picks, the Samsung Gear S3 and Wear 24, also come with 4G LTE technology as well, meaning even when you're away from your phone or if your phone battery dies, you can still make and receive calls and texts, do Google searches, and even order an Uber. Again, Mike, it just comes down to what makes the most sense for you. Well, with this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
It does. And I'm using that Samsung Gear Watch. I have an Apple Watch as well. I mentioned to people before that I use an Apple iPhone for 6 months of the year, and then I switch and use an Android phone for the other six. That way I'm familiar with both platforms, and I've just made the switch over to Android again this year, and I'm also using that Android Gear Watch. I really like having that watch. It's really nice to, when you get a call or a text, you can just glance at your wrist, then you know whether you have to take it or not. Pretty cool stuff. Hey, I'll put links to all the stuff that Steve just talked about on the show notes for this episode. Go to roadtrekking.com/139 and you'll find it. This part of the podcast, of course, always brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's most reliable wireless network. It's the only network we use. I have a data card, and as we travel around in our RV, that's what we use. Our tablets, our laptops, our smartphones, everything works off that data card and the little Wi-Fi network on the wireless, on the 4G LTE Verizon network. That's what we use to send in our video reports to our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel, send in the audio reports for this RV podcast, and of course the photos and blog posts at roadtrekking.com. I couldn't do my job if it wasn't for Verizon Wireless. That's how important it is. They are the official sponsors of the RV podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, I want to take you to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and a little place off the beaten path that you want to visit. It's in Ironwood. Ironwood is in the far western UP, not far from the Wisconsin border, not too far from Porcupine Mountains Wilderness area where a lot of people visit. I want you to go to the Stormy Cromer Factory. What's that, you ask? Well, a lot of you collect hats, don't you? I do. I have ball caps and cowboy hats and straw hats, watch caps. But my favorite hat these days is my Stormy Cromer hats. I've got several of them. We picked up our first Stormy Cromer hats a few years ago when we were doing some winter camping up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and it seemed like every youper that I ran into was wearing one of these hats, and so Jennifer and I both got one. My first was a rakish black, and Jennifer's was a very demure gray with a little pink flower trim. But anyway, after we returned from that trip, we kept wearing our hats, we ran into other people, and we realized it's almost like a cult that's developed over Stormy Cromer hats. All right, what do they look like? Well, you can look on our show notes, I'll put a picture up, but some people call them the Elmer Fudd hat. Don't do that. The Stormy Cromer hat is much, much more. Listen to this report we did on the Stormy Cromer place.
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan is hardly what you'd call a fashion mecca. But from the tiny town of Ironwood near the Wisconsin border comes just such a place, birthplace of the Stormy Cromer hat, which has become a worldwide sensation. Just don't call this an Elmer Fudd hat.
Well, Stormy Cromer was an engineer for the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, and his job was to keep an eye on the front wheels and make sure that they didn't run out of grease. And he had to stick his head out of the railroad engine to check on them and listen for them. And his hat kept blowing off, so he went and found his wife and an old baseball hat that fit him really well and said, I need to keep my ears warm while I'm sticking my head out the window, and I need a visor on the hat so that I can see if the sun's out. So Ida put ear flaps on a baseball hat, and I guess the legend was born. The next day he went into the railroad yard and a whole bunch of guys asked him for a hat. His wife made a dozen more. He came back and sold those, and it just kept snowballing. And then all of a sudden, the men of the railroad in the Midwest wanted a hat. And that's really how it all started.
The factory welcomes visitors and is delighted to provide tours. There's plenty of parking out front for RVs. From rock and movie stars to glossy spreads in magazines and newspapers, the Stormy Cromer hat has picked up quite a following after years of just being a backwoods operation. In fact, the company was barely hanging on.
There's sort of a cult building now where people just, they like talking to each other. They like, you'd love going to see somebody and walk in an airport and go up to somebody with a Stormy Cromer cap on. And you have a friend for life. You start talking about your cap and that you know each other somehow through the hat.
Today, the factory is humming, and the hat's huge success has spawned about a whole line of Stormy Cromer clothing.
So from the little town of Ironwood in Michigan's remote western Upper Peninsula, a legend has become now a near cult around the country, the Stormy Cromer hat cult. Not bad for a little company whose sole job was to pull the wool over your ears. Road trekking across North America. I'm Mike Wendland.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll put a link to the video I did up there, and you can see that on our show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/139. Be sure and check it out, because it's a pretty cool little off-the-beaten-path report. If you have not been to the Stormy Cromer, you don't know about the hat, you're going to want to pick one up. It's in Ironwood, Michigan, and it's a great place for your bucket list. The Off the Beaten Path Report is brought to you every week by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach. Hey, these guys, by the way, did you know that Steinbring is Road Trek's brand new, the newest dealer for Road Trek motorhomes? But they've been around a long time. This is a third generation company. And if you are anywhere in the upper Midwest, this is where you want to go buy your RV. It's a family business. You know what that means? That means that the family's name is on the front of the business. That's what's at stake. And Steinbring treats everybody like their family as well. They've been around since 1917, doing the best products and service within the transportation industry. And they have a sales staff that has decades of experience in the recreational vehicle industry. In fact, the Steinbring is celebrating its 100 years in business this year, and it's a third-generation family business. They've been named a Blue Ribbon dealer, a top 50 dealer across the country. They sell a wide variety of beautiful RVs. They sell if you want to really take a look at some of the neat things, they sell the Newmar Class A motorhomes, brand new. Newmar are gorgeous Class A motorhomes. Beautiful, as well as Road Trek Class Bs, the top in their class, and they have a number of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, and Road Trek as well. They sell Class As, Class Bs, Class Cs, diesel pushers, gas, toy haulers. You're going to find your next RV at Steinbrink's. Along with award-winning sales, they offer award-winning service as well. Their service team has won some prestigious excellence awards a number of years in a row. They have the Newmar Customer Service Award numerous times since 2004. You need to check them out. Steinbring Motor Coach. It is the place to go, and they're based in suburban Minneapolis.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
Hey, so ends another episode. Episode 139 is now in the can. We'll be back with episode 140. Next Wednesday. Every Wednesday these episodes are released, but we like to think they're all what we call evergreen. That means The information that we list applies and can be listened to for many, many years into the future, because it's talking about the RV lifestyle, that lifestyle that we all love so much. Hey, appreciate so much you listening to us this week. I want to remind you again about our YouTube channel. We've been working really hard on that. Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel. Look it up on YouTube and please, please, please subscribe to it. You'll get noticed when we do our YouTube live reports. As we travel, we like to show you what we're seeing while we're seeing it, and we go live all the time. And a lot of people say, oh, I wish I had been on live. I would have asked you this question, because we can take live questions when we go live. So the way to know that is to go to our Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, and you'll get notice of that, and also the many different videos that we put up every single week. So please check it out and let me know. If there's a video you'd like us to do that explains a part of the RV lifestyle, just let us know there. We'll put one together for you. We love to do our videos too. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please subscribe to us on Stitcher or YouTube or whatever your favorite podcast app is. Till next week, I'm Mike Wendland. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, we'll see you out there road trekking. Bye-bye, everybody.